What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're on the road to Canton, getting you ready for tonight's game and Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction on Saturday. Here's In the Loop.
Some people might tell you that preseason is insignificant, that the Hall of Fame game is a throwaway, that there is nothing significant about this day, about this moment, about this game. We are here on In the Loop to respectfully disagree.
Maybe not respectfully all that much sometimes.
Yeah, you know, I want the people to come back.
Yeah, that's true.
This is your real estate too, Lopez. I don't want to mess up. I don't want to mess up no vibes around here, man.
That's right.
I want everybody to know that you are welcome to come back no matter what.
Don't cut your tree limbs in my yard.
I don't care how ignorant your take is, man. You come on back to In the Loop, all right?
That's right.
Want you to do that. But we are of the mind that there are things that we can learn, tangible things about this team that we can learn from tonight's game.
Yeah.
So let's get into them, Lopez. What are some things that you feel like you can learn or are wanting to learn from tonight's matchup?
I don't even think you need to squint. You know, you don't even need to look real hard to see that. Yeah, Hall of Fame game. Who cares? Well, I think there's some parts of today's Hall of Fame game. Like I said, you don't even need to squint. I mean, it's going to be staring you in the face. Dameon Pierce is going to play. Dameon Pierce is one of the biggest question marks coming into the season. One of the biggest things to prove coming into the season is Dameon Pierce and where he fits in this offense, how he's going to respond. Are we going to see 2022 or 2023? Like, he's playing tonight. Now, it's entirely possible, just to be fair, that it's mostly because they're going to really get a good look at kickoffs, and we'll get to that in a minute, because he's up there on the front line with on the starting kickoff return with Steven Sims. But I don't think that's the case. I think they're going to give him some reps, and you got, you know, what are we talking about? You got Joe Mixon. Is Dameon Pierce going to be the guy behind him? Is there any possibility somebody else? No, he's playing. You don't have to try hard. He's going to be playing tonight. You're going to get a good look at it.
He's definitely leader in the clubhouse, and I got a rough time imagining somebody in that room right now being better than Dameon Pierce. And maybe, I don't know if that is a credit to Dameon Pierce or a fault to the rest of the room. I have no idea yet at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I am interested to see what it looks like in game action.
Yeah. The other thing, go ahead and finish.
Well, I just had a side note, and I want us to get back to the things that we want to learn. But since you mentioned the running game, I don't know if you caught this, but NFL Network was talking with Dalton Schultz about the run game.
I did see this.
And it was Pep Hamilton talking to Dalton Schultz about the run game, and really Dalton Schultz just praising Pep Hamilton's successor. Take a listen.
It's the other. That's something that Bobby does a really good job with. Is he's an OC that has a really, really good understanding of the run game and how the intricacies of the blocking systems and assignments all work together.
What?
So we were able to go in and detail those out from like day one of OTAs and the offseason program. And I think just having that ability to go back, make changes, make corrections, go back to the, not necessarily the drawing board, but kind of get back to the fundamentals and basics. We're starting to see some success. And I know we're in the dog days of camp. Not every rep is absolutely perfect, but like, we're starting to see some really good stuff on film that we're really excited about.
Yeah, you know, this guy really knows his stuff.
It's like if you just were standing there interviewing your ex-girl and she's telling you about how much her new dude is better than you.
This guy is something.
Let me tell you all the things that he understood that you do not.
Yeah, he gets my feelings. He talks. He listens.
Everything.
All that stuff.
All of it is better.
And that too.
Pep felt some type of way?
Yeah.
Pep got paid. Pep is still well respected in football circles. So no, I don't think he felt some type of way.
And Dalton Schultz wasn't here when he was here.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was hard to.
Dalton Schultz knows guys who were.
Yeah.
He knows guys who were.
Yeah. Damian Pierce is one of them.
And Damian Pierce is one of them.
So it is just like, that's awkward.
Yeah.
Awkward. Whew.
This new girl is something. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
About that.
Yeah, about that. All right. So here's the other thing about the running game that it's going to be staring you in the face. You don't even have to try hard. How's he fit in the offense? The blocking scheme, no matter who's in front, and frankly, I think Blake Fisher is probably going to play. Kenyon Green may play. We've talked about that. I think he probably should. But even if he doesn't, it's the thing with Damian Pierce is, can he do the one cut and go? You know, can he fit into the, can he grasp this offense and the zone blocking scheme? Well, we're fixing to find out.
So I'm glad that we're focusing more so on the running game at large. Mm-hmm. And Damian Pierce is just a big part of that tonight, really overall, because he's probably going to be your second guy. But tonight more so because he's going to be presumably your starter. But what I didn't mention earlier with this topic that I want to bring up now is it going beyond just Damian Pierce and even the players for me.
Mm-hmm.
Played that audio of Dalton Schultz talking about Bobby's understanding for the run game and the intricacies of it. I am interested to see what that looks like and how, like, some of the more football-y folks here look at that.
Yeah.
Like I will be picking Seth Payne's brain and talking to Clint about that. Hey, what you think about how Bobby called the run game today?
Yeah,
I know it's supposed to be meaningless, mm-hmm. and it's the preseason and all of that, but the coaches aren't just like shoulder shrugging their way into tonight.
Yeah.
If there's anybody that is going, I think, anywhere close to 100% somebody of significance, not the players that may or may not make the team that you don't care about, but key figures that are going to play key roles tonight and throughout the season, mm-hmm. that are going to be going closest to their hardest, it's the coaches. Like, they're not going to show you everything, but they're not going to show you nothing that they don't really believe
in. They're going to
have the same demands.
Yeah. They're going to expect the same weight, in this case the running game, to hit the hole the right way, to read a block the right way, to make the block the right way, to be in the right angle, have the right layer, all that stuff. There ain't no second string coaches. There ain't no third string coaches.
Absolutely not.
You know, they're going to be there.
And the main, I would say the biggest questions about the Texans offense, if you're asking me specifically, mm-hmm. the biggest questions about the offense were whether they could scheme up a run game. Mm-hmm. Like, can they go from being, I think once we realized how great C.J. Stroud was last year, mm-hmm. and then Nico Collins and Tank Dell emerging the way they did, we were like, okay, this is a, and we still feel this way to a degree.
Yeah.
Lean on CJ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a great quarterback. All right, just chuck it. Just throw that thing. Don't even worry about being balanced. I don't even want to hear y'all talk about being balanced. Because for what? You ain't good running the ball, and it appears you have a star at quarterback even as a rookie.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're going to have to revisit that at some point, because in the moment that was cool, but I don't feel like that's a sustainable way to go about things.
No.
Like, hey, we're just going to lean on our quarterback, and we're not going to have any kind of semblance of a run game. You absolutely got to have it. I want to see what it looks like tonight.
They want it. They need it. They've talked about it. I think it's a passing team first, as we all talked about, but they need it. Here's the other one. Here's another thing that's going to be, again, just staring you square in the face. I think there could be five receivers that don't play today, that don't even suit up other than the ball cap, you know, and
five?
And sweatpants. Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Noah Brown, and Robert Woods.
Yeah.
Noah Brown and Robert Woods, because they're veterans and whatever. Robert Woods may want to play, but I doubt it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I doubt it.
There's no way that guy
because I think he's on the bubble.
I mean, he might be, but even if he is, it ain't going to
wait. He's going to wait.
Yeah, like, let's say Robert Woods is on the bubble.
Yeah.
He ain't about to use no Hall of Fame game as his audition.
Make it, yeah.
That man has been paid. He has played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And, like, he's not doing that.
But here's the good thing about five receivers sitting out. You got four receivers that are going to get a lot of reps. And you're going to find out, you know, John Metchie, boy, is he's kind of become the focal point, because we know what's up front. We know Noah Brown. We're wondering about Robert Woods, but it's like, is John Metchie the guy? He's going to play today. I think he's going to get a lot of touches. So you got Metchie, They brought in, I've said this a million times and I'm starting to doubt it. They brought in Ben Skowronek for a reason, but what if it's not going to work out? Skowronek's going to be out there. Obviously, Xavier Hutchinson's going to be out there. I think Steven Sims is going to be out there. So there's four dudes right there. Four goes into one, two.
Let me ask this a different way.
Yeah.
And I don't think we'll get the actual answer until after tonight's game. So It's funny asking it, or interesting, fun asking it on the front end. You just listed the guys, the wide receivers that are going to play tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And listed the ones that are not. Who's wide receiver number one for the Texans?
Tonight?
Yeah. Since the obvious one, the obvious candidates are eliminated. They're not playing. Who is WR1 tonight?
Right?
Has to be Mechie.
I've been saying this for days now. Mechie, right?
Yeah.
Hutchinson has gotten a lot of reps.
I feel like Hutchinson has a case too, though.
Yeah.
I feel like those are the only two that have a case.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see some Cephas.
Quintez Cephas.
We'll see some Quintez Cephas. Cephas might have something to say about that as well. A larger body, somebody who has made some plays out there in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that could be an underrated name to throw out there. We're expecting, you know, a Mechie, a Hutchinson.
Yeah.
News of that nature, or one of those names to come about, but be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Who is wide receiver going into it? Wide receiver number one, we think Mechie, but come back here tomorrow night by tomorrow and be saying,
how about that Quintez Cephas?
How about that Quintez Cephas? How about that heavy dose of Ben Skowronek?
Ben Skowronek. Okay, now here's the last thing that flat out the entire NFL is going to be watching closely. I mean, very closely. Fans aren't going to watch this game throughout, obviously, but I think a lot of fans are going to be interested in this as well. We get our very first look ever in the history of the NFL of a real kickoff and kickoff return. And people are going to be intrigued. They're going to be interested to see how it plays out, fascinated by how the personnel looks. And frankly, like, the entire NFL is going to be watching this because it's live action. Take them to the ground. Block them to the sideline, kickoff and kickoff return. That's going to be pretty awesome. That's going to be one of the highlights for me. I don't know how many kickoffs we're going to have, but it's going to be absolutely fun to watch, and it's going to be fun to watch how they play it, where the ball, you know, ends up being on a regular basis. 35, 40 yard line. I said this earlier, and it's not like I'm proclaiming this is going to be the case. I'm wondering if this is going to be the case. I think over the course of time, as we watch the preseason and maybe into the regular season, I'm wondering if more teams are going to just want the ball instead of deferring to the second half. And that's fully admitting the Bill Belichick, you know, thing of score at the end of the second half, get the ball to start the second half, and if you score, you have a huge advantage. We all understand that. But if you give me the ball at the 35, 40-yard line with C.J. Stroud, I like my chances of taking a 7-0 lead and getting a good start.
Yeah, I feel like what you just mentioned here with the kickoff, This is going to be the thing. I don't know. I feel like this feels pretty strong. League-wide, this will be the thing that they're taking the most notes
100%.
On. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're hype about the depth chart and who the wide receiver one.
No, this is the league interest.
Around the league. No starters playing. All of the narrative stuff kind of just is out of play because, like, we'll talk about it, but it won't really play on the field. We'll see that in week two when these teams actually play each other full strength over there at NRG Stadium. But as far as tonight.
And what it looks like?
All the teams. Yeah. All 30 other teams, and even include the two that are participating. Everybody will be taking copious notes on this kickoff situation. What does it look like? And, hey, what adjustments do we need to make? I mean, we talked about this. The league itself has asked for teams to send them footage of practices.
Yeah.
Like, what does it look like at those training camp practices that we've been going out to? What does it look like? Mm-hmm. What type of tweaks do we need to make? What amendments do we need to make to the whole thing? Like, this is the league-wide story, other than the actual Hall of Famers themselves.
Yeah.
But the in-between-the-lines league-wide story is 100% the kickoff situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch.
On top of the fact, that, and I've mentioned this before, but on top of the fact that you've got arguably the best, if not one of the best, special teams coordinators in all of football.
Well, that's what they're going to be watching too. Well, how did Frank Ross handle that? Yep. How did they deal with the blocking assignment? Did they, you know, do this or that? All eyes are going to be on it.
It's not just any old body out there doing it. It's Frank Ross in particular,
yeah,
who does at this point now. Mm-hmm. I mean, he stood the test of time through regimes and now has a little bit of cachet, I would say,
yeah,
in the special teams community. Did you mention receivers already?
I did mention receivers already.
Look, I want to say this. Cephas, if he has a big game, I'm going to try not to overreact. can that be the thing that we try not to do tomorrow? Is like, we're going to come in here excited about whatever. Like, and when I say excitement, it could be disappointment. It could be like on the positive side. Who knows how it's going to all play out. And there will be a tendency, because we got to keep that energy up, baby.
Yeah.
There will be a tendency, maybe a want to overreact to something. I just keep thinking about Cephas.
Yeah.
Going out there and having a monster game. I'm going to try not to be like, hey, is Cephas the...
Look out, Stephon.
Watch out. Hey, Nico, I know you just got paid, dog, but it's a new sheriff in town.
Hey, spoiler alert, we still will. We still, at some level, we're going to try not to. There's going to be someone somewhere, and we're going to be like, hey, now, what about that cat?
We got a new wide receiver one.
We got a
new
WR1, baby.
It could come up in a segment like this next one.
Yeah, it could.
It's Lunchtime Confessions, where we confess our sins on In the Loop. That's next, Sports Radio 610.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Watch this.
These are my confessions. It is Lunchtime Confessions here on In the Loop. Sometimes these confessions are about sports. Sometimes they are not about sports, but it is absolutely where we let them hang just a little bit lower. The OG Lopez gets us started. Watch this. These
are my confessions. All right. I don't care what people say about what when it comes to where they align politically or otherwise. I just don't feel comfortable living in a world where a dude fights a woman in the Olympics. Like, well, you saw this, right?
I did.
You saw this, right,
Chris? I did. And
yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
Failed two gender tests.
Which, by the way, I'm going to be honest, I don't know what that means.
Well, I know what gender means. I know what gender means.
No, well, I mean, I used to.
Yeah.
I don't anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just being straight. I don't know what it means.
Forget all the ramifications and where you are.
I'm a man. That's all I got for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know what the rest of y'all are.
Yeah.
Be whichever you want to be.
Yeah.
I'm a man. That's all I got.
I don't care, you know, the bigger story and aligning yourself with this side of that. No. I don't want to live in a world where a dude fights a woman in the Olympics. That's my confession. I don't think I'm alone. I don't. No matter what else you think, I don't.
It doesn't seem fair.
If you didn't see, by the way.
It does not seem right.
It does not seem right.
I'll say. the only thing I'm hesitant on with this is I don't know what a dude and a woman is no more. I'm not in favor of a dude fighting a woman in the Olympics, but I don't know who's who. So I'm confused.
I didn't know it was going to go there. Angela Carini, Italian boxer, was fighting a Turkish boxer in the women's Olympic boxing match, and the woman she was facing had failed a gender test twice, and certainly looks as if she has. And so,
damn, Lopez,
Carini,
why you had to do just they like that?
Just an observation. And so Carini just basically opted out after a couple of minutes of the fight. I don't care about what you're saying one way or the other. If she fails two gender tests, I feel like that's a dude.
Well, either way, yeah. I feel like boxing is certainly where we need to draw the line and just say, hey, we're going to go.
Yeah.
No offense to anybody, but we're going to go with our traditional
yes.
gender norms in boxing. Boxing specifically.
Yeah.
Now, maybe some of the other sports, there's some ambiguity or some yeah. wiggle room here.
Yeah.
But in boxing specifically, we're not making a political statement mm-hmm. just in terms of like in the interest of safety and fairness and actually trying to be apolitical.
Yeah.
We're going to go with the way we've always understood
exactly.
the world to work.
Exactly.
I am right there with you.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So.
You didn't think I was going to bring that up, did you?
In the spirit of one Danico Autry, he is not the only one, apparently, to take a performance-enhancing drug.
Oh, no. What's the news?
I, too, recently took performance-enhancing drugs.
You took a performance-enhancing drug?
I did.
You don't look bigger.
Well, not from where you're standing, at least. Not from that angle. And to be fair, that's not the angle I was going for. Nor were you the one that I was trying to impress.
The steroids?
I mean, you could call it that. Do these come up? I wonder.
Was it Andro?
I'll say this.
Diuretic?
I'm not going to put the company out there because who knows?
Creatine?
One day we might have to lie to the audience and tell them how great of a product
is. Tell me when I nail it.
It could
be. No pun intended.
It could be one of those we might have to do an endorsement for, especially on a male-dominated station like this.
Was it a beta blocker? Beta blocker.
I'm just saying. I wanted the performance to go up. Like, I thought I was great. I wanted to be greater.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sensing that it was a growth hormone.
And I was. I was greater. But then I felt the side effects.
You had side effects?
Yeah, man. Some serious side effects.
Yeah.
Your boy
mm-hmm.
has been struggling the last two mornings. Like, it did what it was supposed to do.
Oh, okay.
But did it? Then it did a bunch of stuff that it was not supposed to do. And I'm just glad I made it here. Y'all notice today that we doing In the Loop from 12 to 4?
Mm-hmm.
Coincidence. But I don't know if I would have been able to pull off 10 to 2. At 10 o'clock, I was still dusting off some cobwebs from...
Did you hurl?
From my situation. A little bit.
You hurled a little bit?
And when I say a little bit, I mean a lot.
A lot.
A lot. So I've learned my lesson from performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to go with whatever the performance is.
Yeah.
And that's what she... I mean, that's just what it's going to be.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So I don't know if you guys... I mean, I'm assuming y'all have been watching the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
Or Leap Stride. I've been having so much fun watching
it. It's the best.
Oh, I mean... It's just being able to wake up early in the morning and just watch any type of sport. It's just been just so much fun to me, especially like Simone Biles and the USA Women's Olympics and Team USA in basketball. But just not just USA, but like other countries. It's just I wish there was like more events like this, like just on television where I could just tune in and just see them like go through all these things, not just during the Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah, I it's been a blast to watch, and you know, we watch a lot of times here during the show as well, and we're not going to do any spoiler alerts, but there's some big stuff happening today as well.
Yeah, and for me, man, it's just like the every 4 years novelty of it. You bring that along with all of the different competitions that you got. Like, mm-hmm. I almost find it. I'm a little bit different. I find it almost overwhelming, Chris,
because
mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, what am I going to watch?
Oh, no, I can see that. I can see that.
You know what I mean? It's like
yeah.
so much going on. It's like I don't want to miss anything. I feel like I might miss everything.
I'm mm-hmm. like, I got to watch this badminton. I mean, how many times do you say that
exactly.
other than every 4 years?
Yeah,
I got to see this badminton.
Yeah, literally never.
This is going to be badass.
Oh, literally never.
Okay.
That is a wonderful part of it.
Watch this.
This is going to be easy for people to say, yeah, you say that now. But I swear, there's some big news in Houston today. Has to do with a number of billboards that are out there. Like tens, if not hundreds, of billboards that are out there that say push and win. Everybody has seen that, right?
Yeah.
Right, Chris? We push, you win.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know exactly what board you're talking about. Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All over town.
Yep.
Well, apparently, push is suing win, and the billboards are going to come down, and the law firm, apparently, reportedly, is going to dissolve. So it has something to do with, obviously, the obvious answer, and I think this is what's being reported. A lot of money, whatever, questions about where it's going. But here's my confession. I've always thought that was kind of a weird thing, because those billboards came out of nowhere. Like, I hadn't even heard of this law firm a year ago. And then all of a sudden, you can't drive 20 feet without seeing those billboards?
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Right?
Where did they come from?
Yes.
Especially in a city like this that has an established law community.
Yes.
You feel like you
got
know
the Texas
who
Hammer.
Yeah, you know who the big-time lawyers
are. I like Willie
are.
Wins, man. I love, have you seen the Willie Wins?
Yeah, I have.
I like Willie Wins.
Since we're on it, though,
yeah,
you mentioned the Texas Hammer.
Yeah.
I know his son is trying.
Oh, it's not the same.
My goodness.
It's not the same.
Find you a new thing, dog.
Yeah.
Find you a new... It's good enough for you that you get to be the son of the Texas Hammer.
Yeah.
Don't try the Texas Hammer.
I know. People, I understand it. I'm with you. I get it. Yeah, sure, you say that now. I swear, the whole time, when I first started seeing those, I'm like, this is weird. Like, they came out of nowhere.
They did.
And then now they're gone.
Here today, gone tomorrow.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So I wanted to cuss out a pharmacy tech yesterday at CVS. And it wasn't because of anything that this person had done to me. I'm sitting in a long line sitting. I was standing until I started sitting because it was such a damn long line. It was taking them so long to get things done. But this guy was really rude to these old ass ladies in the line.
The pharmacist?
Like, the pharmacy tech.
Okay.
Not the actual pharmacist, but the pharmacy tech that does, you know, all the little work in the pharmacy or whatever. But he's just being rude to this lady who, look, I'm gonna be honest, she was clearly like touched or like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this lady elevator didn't go all the way up to the top floor,
if you will. Yeah.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? So it's like something wasn't right with you know, with old girl. Mm-hmm. And she's older. I heard her, you know, eavesdropping a little bit. I heard her say her date of birth. She's born in the 50s. So she like around my mom's age. So like I'm deferential here. This is an older lady, clearly touched, here to get her medicine and everything. But she did the thing that I can't stand. And I suddenly understood why he was being so rude. It took me a while to catch on to what was going on. She was coupon lady.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
She
was coupon lady.
All bets are off.
And look, I wanted to be on her side.
Yeah.
And look, but coupon lady,
you lost me.
Bothers me enough in a regular line.
Yes.
We in the pharmacy.
In a pharmacy.
All right. This is.
Which I get. There can be expensive if you don't have. I get it. Covered. Yeah.
But also.
But you lost me there. I mean, I'm out.
I can't have you holding up this line.
Right.
We all need medicine. And you got them voiding transactions with the coupon and you want to reapply it. You want to better understand it. And I was trying to decide who do I dislike more here?
Yeah.
This guy who's being rude to this old ass lady or this old ass lady who has decided to hold up our line with this coupon.
Yeah.
There were no good guys here.
Yeah.
He was saying stuff like I don't like customer service people who say stuff like, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
That's a phrase that cannot be used. Like, maybe that's true, but you got to say that differently and certainly not use that phrase. He used it twice with this lady and another one. Like, I don't know what to tell you. You need to find another job or do some more training,
you
dog.
You got me.
One thing to not tell me is, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
But one thing I would tell that lady is, figure out them damn coupons before you get to the register, please.
Yes.
That right there. Please. That
is it.
So, you know, people are talking about how, like, oh, it's the preseason. No, it's not. It's not just the preseason.
Explain.
Man.
What is it? I mean, because it's the Hall of Fame game. It's our reintroduction to football. How do you view it?
There's so much going on this weekend with the Hall of Fame game. Andre Johnson getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. And it's just like, we got preseason football. We're about to watch the young guys play.
Yes.
The future of the Texans with Kamari Lassiter, Bullock and just all these young guys, like, everybody should be hyped, man.
Mm-hmm.
Hyped. I mean, excited, and just, it's football's back, baby. Let's get it.
Football is back. The team is relevant. You got your first Hall of Famer going into the Hall of Fame.
I'm with you, man.
I don't know what there is to be down about. Like, if you can't, if this doesn't excite you, I question your ability to get excited. I want to check your pulse.
Real quick, love the text board. They put it all together. 2 + 2 = 4, right? B. Scott just gave a confession about going to the pharmacy and having performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah.
It all comes together.
Now those two things, I will say, are not related.
But
what you're thinking, I got some other things going on, okay? But what you're thinking is not far off. That's not 2 + 2 = 4. It's more like 3 + 2 = 5. You know what I mean? Like, eventually you are getting to the right answer. I will give you that. Those are your lunchtime confessions. Coming up next, French and Olympic officials say that dirty ass water that the triathletes were swimming in is actually safe to swim in. Is it cap or no cap? That's next on In the Loop.
We're on the road to Canton, getting you ready for tonight's game and Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction on Saturday. Here's In the Loop.
So we've seen the images of this on social media, the Seine River out there in Paris. That's where the triathletes did their thing. There was some concern if they'd be able to do it because the E. coli, the water levels were not up to snuff,
mm-hmm.
not initially. Eventually, it was good enough. Apparently,
was it?
Apparently, they say it was good enough for them to swim in. Now, we talked about this. It wasn't good enough for me to swim in.
Yeah.
I would have took my ass back home or back to the Olympic Village with my bad performance enhancing drugs or something like that, trying to figure out what I'm going to do in that village over swimming in that water.
Yeah.
But the French and Olympic officials are saying that the Seine River is perfectly fine to swim in. Here we do cap or no cap.
Yeah.
Is it a lie or is it not?
Okay, you saw it, right? Now, I'm not saying, look, Galveston is not the cleanest water in the world. Buffalo Bayou is not the cleanest water in the world. I'd swim in Galveston, splash around on the beach and all that. I don't know if I'd swim in Buffalo Bayou. That's for darn sure.
Hell no.
I don't know if I'd swim in Buffalo Bayou.
Man, I've been, it's not Buffalo Bayou, it's Braves that I'm thinking about, yeah. But either,
none of
the bayous, man. When Beryl happened,
yeah,
over out there in Meyerland,
yeah,
right by the bayou,
yeah,
right. And there is apparently like waste over in that area too, where I'm talking about. This is like, think Braeswood, Bissonnette, between Bissonnette and Braeswood. All right, man, I could smell the damn sewage. Like they were letting the sewer out.
Yeah.
So when you go outside, man, you just smell all of our business.
Well, that's what happened. That's what happened in the sand because of all the, you saw the opening ceremonies with all the rain, and then there was a rain the next day.
Yeah, man.
Apparently the sewers somehow contaminated it more. They did have the event, and I will say this, you reminded me, 2017 after Harvey, when I went out in a boat and was helping rescue some people up in the Kingwood and Humble area, bringing them out of the deep water. That's not self-serving. I'm just saying I got sick. I never said that afterwards, but not like vomiting or anything, but my stomach was upset for a good full day after. And I was wearing waders and wading boots. I was in my boat mostly. I got out occasionally to try to see if there was anybody in the house or whatever that somebody had told me about, whatever. And my stomach was turned upside down for like an entire day and day and a half. And that was in 2017 after Harvey, just in the neighborhood. Can you imagine the sand? When you know, sewage is going in there, and then you're throwing Olympic caliber athletes. So here's the cap or no cap. The Seine River is perfectly fine to swim in.
Cap.
That's cap.
100%
cap. 100%
cap.
Even if it ain't cap, it's cap. Like what I'm saying is,
yeah,
if it's actually safe to swim in,
mm-hmm.
I'm not taking nobody word for that. I'm not believing it. Like it could be the truth of the matter, and I'm just gonna not believe it.
Yeah.
No, it is not safe.
I ain't swimming in it.
I ain't swimming in it. Cap.
All right.
100% cap. You saw that water, right? Yeah, you say you've been watching the Olympics. No.
And honestly, I wouldn't even be surprised if somebody gets sick.
Like, yeah, you know, there were some images of some triathletes vomiting after the triathlon, which is kind of deceptive because it's a triathlon you just finished.
Right.
A lot of people are going to vomit. I just watched it and I was like, that's a lot of vomit. That's a lot of people vomiting.
I know we're not lawyers or anything, but I wonder if, like, do you have a case if something happens to you? Like, who do you sue? Who do you? Like, I would.
Don't go to Push and Win.
They ain't here no more. They cap for real.
They cap for real.
Hey, talking about cap or no cap, that's false advertising.
Yeah.
Push and Win is no longer.
All right, cap or no cap. Dana Brown earlier this week said the Astros, quote, did what they needed to do at the trade deadline.
That's cap.
Did what they need. Now, don't ask Adam Spillane. 100%.
Well, that was a different question.
It was better. Yeah, you said they
better. That was a different question. That was, were they better?
Yeah.
And I don't know about no 100%. I am going to go no cap on this, though.
Oh, really?
I feel like they did what they needed to do, but it still wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Like, what they needed to do was add a starter to the back end of their rotation. They added a starter to the back end of their rotation. Do I feel good about how they arrived to this place?
Mm-hmm.
What they gave up to get to that place? No. Do I feel good about the circumstances that led them there? No. So I reject and resent that this is what they had to do, or the fact that this is what they had to do. But it was what they had to do. They did it. It's ugly. Don't feel great about it. Not excited about it, but it did need doing.
Here's why I'm going to call it cap. Because the cap or no cap is what they said. Do you think they're lying? Well, hell, there's no way that he thought this was going to be all they wanted. Like, in his heart, in his mind, he actually talked about it. We need another bat. You know, we could use.
Oh, well,
they were reported.
I mean, let's be real. There's no way.
Yeah.
It took them three prospects to get Kikuchi.
Yeah. So what he's saying is they did what they needed to do. No. He said before they were looking for a bat, maybe this, maybe that. So I'm thinking like that statement is the cap, is the lie.
Yeah. So the cap would be whatever they said before that, because we knew damn well you ain't going to be able to get no starter, reliever, and a bat when you don't have no money. Money being prospects.
Here's another Dana Brown related cap or no cap. He said he believes Rafael Montero will accept the assignment to AAA.
Nah, that's cap, right?
That's cap.
That's got to be cap.
There's no way. If I'm Rafael Montero, if they DFA me, I'm going to want to go back to AAA. No, dude, I got my money. Let me go find another team.
Find another team. I'll clear waivers, find another team, or just chill.
Because it's like, it's one thing. This is different, too, from sending Jose Abreu to Florida, you know, to West Palm Beach and the complex.
Oh, no, he's out already.
You know what I mean? This ain't that. This is us saying, by DFAing you, we're also saying, somebody picks you up, we're cool.
Well, but they got to pay his salary, so he would have to clear waivers.
Well, they would have to pay. Yes, but still, they're saying that we're good without you.
Mm-hmm.
We're good without you, but we want you to come back. Nah, check clears, money's in the bank.
Yeah.
We going on an early vacation. It's still summer.
Yep.
School's starting the week. We going on vacation.
Yeah, we are.
I don't know what y'all talking about, AAA. What?
Ride a bus?
You crazy?
You hear me, ride a bus?
No, man, I got $11.5 million just this year.
Yeah.
That is something from y'all.
Yeah.
To do basically nothing.
Yeah.
It was like they gave Montero back pay, basically. They were like, hey, we liked your 22. You heard what Dana Brown said.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he regains his form from 2022.
Yeah.
You mean before the deal?
That didn't help us last year.
You mean before the money was paid?
Did not help us last year.
Come on, man. Why don't we give Rafael Montero back pay?
Exactly.
It's crazy.
All right, cap or no cap? You saw the Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson thing on the sideline, right?
Yeah, I did.
Pretty heated. Like seemed like they were raising their voices, arguing about something. Some people might say he probably should have gone to a couple practices when he was in Egypt. Mm-hmm. But that's just some people might say that.
Might say the chemistry's off.
Aaron Rodgers said this, cap or no cap. He said, quote, they were just passionately talking about the details of a situation that might not have to do with either of us.
Oh, see, I was going to say no cap at first, but that might not have to do with either of us.
With either of us. So they're arguing about something else.
Why even say that?
That's what he wants you to believe. Or he said it might.
Well, yeah. So first of all, you
just passionately talking about the details of a situation that might not have to do with any of us.
You let this with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, well, that's Cap.
You didn't have to say it.
That's Cap.
That's Cap.
Cap, for sure.
Cap it is.
He is the king of Cap.
I mean, why would I believe a word that Aaron Rodgers has to say? Right. Cap.
You also saw yesterday Jeffrey Simmons go a little nuts on a radio host. We played it here yesterday. They arranged a meeting between the radio host and Jeffrey Simmons. They chatted a little bit. Apparently, you know, all turned out okay. But Jeffrey Simmons said, quote, "That won't ever happen again."
Ooh.
Keep in mind, he had the gist of it, the impetus to the whole thing was that the radio guy said he needs to take more control because he was in back-to-back fights on back-to-back plays on the field.
Yeah.
So he's not exactly well-tempered all the time.
Yeah.
He said it would never happen again.
Ooh.
I'm going to start this one. Believe it or not, as much as I just laid out the case why it wouldn't be the case, I kind of think it's no Cap. I kind of think he's going to – it was a wake-up call.
I'm right there with you.
No, yeah?
I'll go no Cap on his intentions. I think it was a wake-up call.
Sometimes your best intentions.
But it is possible – that my man can't help himself.
Exactly.
So, like, I'll go no Cap just because I don't think he's just straight up lying, like just saying this just to say.
He believes it.
He believes it. Yeah. And I think, like you say, a wake-up call. It's probably a little bit embarrassing, you know, to kind of have this moment. So I'm pretty sure he doesn't feel good about it and probably doesn't want it to happen again. But it seemed like my guy's fuse is kind of short.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, I don't know.
One more for you here. They caught up with Jerry Jones yesterday at Cowboys training camp. I mean, he was one of the few people there, so it was easy to find
him. Yeah, very easy.
But he said, quote, and I had the audio, but it was really bad quality, so I'll just tell you what he said. Dak Prescott is the best leader I've ever seen.
That's got to be Cap.
Come on.
It's got to be.
That is he talking about strictly football or like just every season I've ever seen?
Interpret how you will.
If I'm Jerry Jones, I'm like, not to be tooting my own horn, but I'm Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
So like, no, you ain't.
Yeah.
I'm the best leader I ever seen.
Well, yeah.
To be honest with
mirror,
you.
But
also.
Yeah.
Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman did all right. Yeah. Hell, Tony Romo. I mean, he fell short all the time, but.
I do think that Dak's a better leader than Tony Romo. I don't think he's a better player per se.
I think leadership was one of Tony Romo's best qualities.
Really,
like he was respected for that.
Maybe I can't get over how goofy he sounds on broadcast.
No, he's goofy, and he
but that, I don't hear nothing about a leader nowhere.
No. I think a lot of players respected him, which means he's probably a good leader. But again, we can argue that. Regardless,
Dak
Cap.
Yeah, I'd say Cap.
Cap for sure.
Yeah,
Cap. I would think. Hell, Mike. Does he know Michael Irvin?
That too. It doesn't have to be a quarterback.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah. Hey, you gonna talk about who would I follow anywhere before anything?
Yeah.
Dak or Michael Irvin, even if it's the wrong place.
Yeah.
Michael Irvin seemed like a better leader for my money. Going with it. That is Cap or no Cap here on In the Loop. And coming up next, we go around the NFL. Stay there here on Sports Radio 16.
We're on the road to Canton. Getting you ready for tonight's game and Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction on Saturday. Here's In the Loop.
So we've seen the images of this on social media. The Sin River out there in Paddy. That's where the triathletes did their thing. There was some concern if they'd be able to do it. Because the E. coli, the water levels were not up to snuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not initially. Eventually, it was good enough. Apparently.
Was it?
Apparently, they say it was good enough for them to swim in. Now, we talked about this. It wasn't good enough for me to swim in.
Yeah.
I would have took my ass back home or back to the Olympic Village with my bad performance enhancing drugs or something like that, trying to figure out what I'm going to do in that village over swimming in that water.
Yeah.
But the French and Olympic officials are saying that the Seine River is perfectly fine to swim in. Here we do Cap or no Cap.
Yeah.
Is it a lie or is it not?
Okay. You saw it, right? Now, I'm not saying, look, Galveston is not the cleanest water in the world. Buffalo Bayou is not the cleanest water in the world. I'd have and do swim in Galveston, splash around on the beach and all that. I don't know if I'd swim in Buffalo Bayou. That's for darn
no,
sure.
Hell no.
I don't know if I'd swim in Buffalo Bayou.
Man, I've been, well, it's not Buffalo Bayou, it's Braves that I'm thinking about, yeah. But either, none of the bayous.
None of the bayous.
None of the bayous, man. When Beryl happened.
Yeah.
Over out there in Meyerland.
Yeah.
Right by the bayou.
Yeah.
Right. And there is apparently like a, like waste over in that area too where I'm talking about. This is like, think Braeswood, Bissonnette, between Bissonnette and Braeswood, all right? Yeah. Man, I could smell the damn sewage. Like they were letting the sewer out.
Yeah.
So when you go outside, man, you just smell all of our business.
Well, that's what happened in the sand because of all the, you saw the opening ceremonies with all the rain, and then there was a rain the next day.
Yeah, man.
Apparently the sewers somehow contaminated it more. They did have the event, and I will say this, you reminded me, 2017 after Harvey, when I went out in a boat and was helping rescue some people up in the Kingwood and Humble area, bringing them out of the deep water. That's not self-serving. I'm just saying I got sick. I never said that afterwards, but not like vomiting or anything, but my stomach was upset for a good full day after. And I was wearing waders and wading boots. I was in my boat mostly. I got out occasionally to try to see if there was anybody in the house or whatever that somebody had told me about, whatever. And my stomach was turned upside down for like an entire day and day and a half. After, and that was in 2017 after Harvey, just in the neighborhood. Can you imagine the sand when sand, you know, sewage is going in there and then you're throwing Olympic caliber athletes? So here's the cap or no cap. The Seine River is perfectly fine to swim in.
Cap.
Yes, cap.
100%
cap. 100%
cap.
Even if it ain't cap, it's cap. Like what I'm saying is,
yeah.
If it's actually safe to swim in,
mm-hmm.
I'm not taking nobody word for that. I'm not believing it. Like it could be the truth of the matter, and I'm just gonna not believe it.
Yeah.
No, it is not safe.
I ain't swimming in it.
Cap.
All right.
100% cap. You saw that water, right? Yeah. You say you've been watching the.
Yeah. No. And honestly, I wouldn't even be surprised if somebody gets sick.
Like, yeah. Well, you know, there were some images of some triathletes vomiting after the triathlon, which is kind of deceptive because it's a triathlon you just finished.
Right.
A lot of people are going to vomit. I just watched it and I was like, that's a lot of vomit. That's a lot of people vomiting.
I know we're not lawyers or anything, but I wonder if, like, do you have a case if something happens to you? Like, who do you sue? Who do you, like, I would.
Don't go to Push and Win.
They ain't here no more. They cap for real.
They cap for
they
real.
Like, hey, talking about cap or no cap, that's false advertising.
Yeah.
Push and Win is no longer.
All right, cap or no cap. Dana Brown earlier this week said the Astros, quote, did what they needed to do at the trade deadline.
That's cap.
Did what they need. Now, don't ask Adam Spillane. 100%.
Well, that was a different question.
It was better. Yeah, you said they were.
That was a different question. That was, were they better?
Yeah.
And I don't know about no 100%. I am going to go no cap on this, though.
Oh, really?
I feel like they did what they needed to do, but it still wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Like, what they needed to do was add a starter to the back end of their rotation. They added a starter to the back end of their rotation. Do I feel good about how they arrived to this place?
Mm-hmm.
What they gave up to get to that place? No. Do I feel good about the circumstances that led them there? No. So I reject and resent that this is what they had to do, or the fact that this is what they had to do. But it was what they had to do. They did it. It's ugly. Don't feel great about it. Not excited about it, but it did need doing.
Here's why I'm gonna call it cap. Because the cap or no cap is what they said. Do you think they're lying? Well, hell, there's no way that he thought this was going to be all they wanted. Like, in his heart, in his mind, he actually talked about it. We need another bat. You know, we could use.
Oh, well,
they were reported.
I mean, let's be real. There's no way.
Yeah.
It took them three prospects to get Kikuchi.
Yeah. So what he's saying is they did what they needed to do. No. He said before they were looking for a bat, maybe this, maybe that. So I'm thinking like that statement is the cap, is the lie.
Yeah. So the cap would be whatever they said before that, because we knew damn well you ain't going to be able to get no starter, reliever, and a bat when you don't have no money. money being prospects.
Here's another Dana Brown related cap or no cap. He said he believes Rafael Montero will accept the assignment to AAA.
Nah, that's cap, right?
That's cap.
That's got to be cap.
There's no way if I'm Rafael Montero, if they DFA me, I'm going to want to go back to AAA. No, dude, I got my money. Let me go find another team.
Find another team. I'll clear waivers, find another team, or just chill.
Because it's like, it's one thing. This is different, too, from sending Jose Abreu to Florida, you know, to West Palm Beach and the complex.
Oh, no, he's out already.
You know what I mean? This ain't that. This is us saying, by DFAing you, we're also saying, somebody picks you up, we're cool.
Well, but they got to pay his salary, so he would have to clear waivers.
Well, they would have to pay. Still, they're saying that we're good without you.
Mm-hmm.
We're good without you, but we want you to come back. Nah. Check clears. Money's in the bank.
Yeah.
We going on an early vacation. It's still summer.
Yep.
School's starting the week. We going on vacation.
Yeah, we are.
I don't know what y'all talking about. AAA. What?
Ride a bus?
You crazy?
Yeah, we ride a bus?
No, man. I got $11.5 million just this year.
Yeah.
That is something from y'all.
Yeah.
To do basically nothing.
Yeah.
It was like they gave Montero back pay, basically. They were like, we liked your 22. You heard what Dana Brown said.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, he regains his form from 2022.
Yeah.
You mean before the deal?
That didn't help us last year.
You mean before the money was paid?
Did not help us last year.
Come on, man. Why would we give Rafael Montero back pay?
Exactly.
It's crazy.
All right, cap or no cap? You saw the Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson thing on the sideline, right?
Yeah, I did.
Pretty heated. Seemed like they were raising their voices, arguing about something. Some people might say he probably should have gone to a couple practices when he was in Egypt. But that's just some people might say that.
Might say the chemistry's off.
Aaron Rodgers said this, cap or no cap. He said, quote, they were just passionately talking about the details of a situation that might not have to do with either of us.
Oh, see, I was going to say no cap at first, but that might not have to do with either of us.
With either of us. So they're arguing about something else.
Why even say that?
That's what he wants you to believe. Well, he said it might.
Well, yeah. So first of all, you
just passionately talking about the details of a situation that might not have to do with any of us.
You let this with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, well, that's cap.
You didn't have to say it.
That's cap.
That's cap.
Cap for sure.
Cap it is.
He is the king of cap.
I mean, why would I believe a word that Aaron Rodgers has to say?
Right.
Cap.
You also saw yesterday Jeffrey Simmons go a little nuts on a radio host. We played it here yesterday. They arranged a meeting between the radio host and Jeffrey Simmons. They chatted a little bit. Apparently, you know, all turned out okay. But Jeffrey Simmons said, quote, that won't ever happen again.
Ooh.
Keep in mind, he had the gist of it, the impetus to the whole thing was that the radio guy said he needs to take more control because he was in back-to-back fights on back-to-back plays on the field.
Yeah.
So he's not exactly well-tempered all the time.
Yeah.
He said it would never happen again.
Ooh.
I'm going to start this one. Believe it or not, as much as I just laid out the case why it wouldn't be the case, I kind of think it's no cap. I kind of think he's going to, it was a wake-up call.
I'm right there with you.
No
cap.
Yeah.
I'll go no cap on his intentions. I think it was a wake-up call.
Sometimes your best intentions.
But it is possible that my man can't help himself.
Exactly.
So, like, I'll go no cap just because I don't think he's just straight up lying, like just saying this just to say
he believes it.
He believes it. Yeah. And I think, like you say, a wake-up call. It's probably a little bit embarrassing, you know, to kind of have this moment. So I'm pretty sure he doesn't feel good about it and probably doesn't want it to happen again. But it seemed like my guy's fuse is kind of short.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, I don't know.
One more for you here. They caught up with Jerry Jones yesterday at Cowboys training camp. I mean, he was one of the few people there, so it was easy to find him.
Yeah, very easy.
But he said, quote, and I had the audio, but it was really bad quality, so I'll just tell you what he said. Dak Prescott is the best leader I've ever seen.
That's got to be cap.
Come on.
It's got to be.
Is he talking about strictly football or like just every season I've ever seen?
Interpret how you will.
I'm Jerry Jones, I'm like, not to be tooting my own horn, but I'm Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
So like, no, you ain't.
Yeah.
I'm the best leader I ever seen.
Well, yeah. To be honest with you.
But also.
Yeah.
Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman did all right. Hell, Tony Romo.
Tony Romo.
I mean, he fell short all the time, but
I do think that Dak's a better leader than Tony Romo. I don't think he's a better player per se.
I think leadership was one of Tony Romo's best qualities.
Really?
Like, he was respected for that.
Maybe I can't get over how goofy he sounds on broadcast.
No, he's goofy and he
chokes. But I don't hear nothing about a leader nowhere.
No, I think a lot of players respected him, which means he's probably a good leader. But again, we can argue that. Regardless,
Dak,
Cap.
Yeah, I'd say Cap.
Cap for sure.
Yeah.
Cap, I would think, does he know Michael Irvin?
That too. It doesn't have to be a quarterback.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah. Hey, you going to talk about who would I follow anywhere before anything?
Yeah.
Dak or Michael Irvin? Even if it's the wrong place.
Yeah.
Michael Irvin seemed like a better leader for my money. Going with it. That is Cap or no Cap here on In the Loop. And coming up next, we go around the NFL. Stay there here on Sports Radio 16.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.